Good afternoon and welcome to Focus. As I'm really excited to be here on the program today. Earlier this morning here at the WJR studios, I was able to recognize the sponsors of my show, School Talks, and I'm privileged to have some of them join me this afternoon to talk about some really important school topics that affect schools and whatnot. And our sponsor breakfast this morning was sponsored by the John Burke Agency, Mimic Insurance Company, and they did a nice job for us this morning. Recognize our sponsors, and thanks to all the staff here at WJR for a really nice morning. But we're here now, we're down to business, and joining me in the studio is attorneys Gary Collins from Collins & Blaha and Don Denault from O'Reilly Rancilio. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for having us.
So, as you know, we're in an election year, in case anyone didn't know that. And as a result of that, education always comes front and center. It seems like it has for many, many years. And this year being no different, part of what I wanted to explore with you today from really, I would consider them really opposite legal perspectives, but how they both affect what happens in the classroom. And the first one is, I'd like to start with you, Gary. Over the last decade or so, what happens in schools, how people are evaluated, often follows the political winds of who
Correct.
Has the power in Lansing and so on. And I understand that we're now into a new or a revised evaluation system for both teachers and superintendents. Help our focused listeners understand what that is and what it means right now.
Sure. We need to keep in mind that the evaluation systems were changed back in 2012 with the idea that we wanted to have more student growth as a factor in teacher evaluation. The problem is that student growth may be attributable to any number of factors, and partially including the teacher, but also partially due to external environments. And so over a period of time, it became fairly obvious that the student growth was not as important factor as people thought it was. And so they diminished the student growth factor in teachers to possibly, it could be down to zero, and to administrators to 20%. The impact of the student growth is it's measured against what the midpoint of the teachers that you're supervising are doing. So it's really never going to get to the point where you're going to be able to isolate a teacher or an administrator who is having poor student growth because the majority of their students or the majority of their people are going to be adequate.
I think an important clarification, when you say growth, that could be either within the school year.
Correct.
Or it could be from year to year.
Absolutely.
And as you know well, many schools face the reality of kids sort of coming and going, depending on parents relocating.
Turnover rates.
Or the turnover rates are much, much different than they were long, long ago. And as a result of that, the notion of growth gets a little bit complicated in terms of whether it's within the school year or from year to year, because there's a fancy term in education called cohort.
Correct.
And that's a group of kids that hasn't changed. And in my time as superintendent, I knew well that when you study the cohort, that's probably a better indicator of how you're doing, because you're really managing the same group of children, whether it's within the year or from year to year. And let me ask you, the new evaluation system,
Correct.
Independent of percentages, in your role working with school boards, how do you help the school boards who are responsible sort of walk through this process?
So when we designed a superintendent evaluation process that we walked through with the school boards, and we trained them on how to evaluate superintendents, we did that after looking at all the other states in the union that have superintendent evaluation systems, and then devising one for Michigan. And it is, once again, based on how do we help people advance in their position and how do we deal with policy and governance. And so it's been a successful model that we continue to use, and it's required now by the state that every school board be trained in superintendent evaluation.
And as we know well, the job of a teacher right now is really and truly the Lord's work. When you consider what's happening outside of schools with social media mm-hmm. and all of the stuff that comes into schools, it is truly an extraordinary time. And I want to shift to you, Don. I you know, when you get out of the day-to-day business, you sometimes lose sort of what the word on the ground is on a day-to-day basis. And I really want you to share with our listeners something that has taken school children, or many of them, by storm. It's something called Kratom. Is that the right term?
That's the right term.
Tell us about Kratom and what it is and how it's affecting children right now. And I want the listeners to think about, as Don explains this, how it affects a teacher trying to do their job in a classroom. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. First, I won't pretend to be an expert on what Kratom is. I'm a lawyer, so I look at it more from the standpoint of how it impacts our schools and how it impacts our cities and communities and what we can do as a state or a city to work with it or address it. Kratom is a substance now that is completely legal to purchase in Michigan. There are no regulations in terms of how it's designed, how it's bred, how it's produced, what it might be cut or laced with. And you can buy it at a lot of retail shops, gas stations, party-type stores, liquor-type stores. It is pretty readily available. And it's a substance that, as kids become more aware of it, they realize they don't have to go through or around any legal channels in order to get a hold of it. And it's a psychotropic type of substance, and it can be ingested in a number of different ways. And that substance then impacts and affects the kids, and it affects them in many of the same ways that maybe a marijuana might or some other type of scheduled drugs, some type of controlled substance. And it has a lot of different uses. It's a Southeast Asian plant that at low doses can have some medical benefits, but at higher doses can really impact kids.
And is this able to be purchased at like a gas station, like you buy vape? Is that?
It is. It is very much unregulated right now. And the state of Michigan has a bill pending to address that. The state of other states are looking at it. But what I'm finding is the cities and communities are getting ahead of it faster. And local communities, Spokane, Washington, for example, put together a great ordinance to address it, to basically ban it from being sold and or possessed by kids. Sold to or possessed by, because they know that it has effects that we have yet to study and really understand. And so for the moment, maybe keep it away from anyone under 21 until such time as we can better evaluate it.
And in your role working with school districts, are they starting to see it in the schools to where discipline's being issued and things like that?
Well, it would fall under any other school of code of conduct rules. Kids can't bring substances to school that aren't approved, other than maybe some medication type things. So, yes, it is starting to get into schools. It's starting to affect kids in school, and we're going to see more and more of that as they become more aware of it.
And, you know, when I think about the dichotomy of this conversation, Gary, we start out with the best way to evaluate teachers so kids learn as best they can, whether there's percentages involved in how we evaluate teachers. And then you have something really diametrically opposed to that in terms of what children are bringing in to schools. And when I think about a teacher who is faced with children who are coming to school under any number of situations and then are met with the challenges of being evaluated, it really, really and truly is a thankless a profession at times, and we owe an incredible debt of gratitude to the teachers and the staff who serve our children. This is Focus, and we'll be back right after this.